This is actually a seminar, which really means not me talking to you, but us talking together a bit more. Okay, so at the end of this, like, half an hour, quick, whenever we've got now, if I talk all the time, it's just not very successful. Okay, so it's a little bit about us talking. Yeah, thank you. Now you've heard that. I've just changed my mind. I'm going to talk to you all the time, mate. And brilliant. Okay. Right, just to start off, this is a very short but simple, basic session, and it's called... What is it called?
Family.
God's view on family. That's it. So it's like, oh, that's an interesting thing. So the first thing I want to do is just like a quick... load of random words up on the board, what you think of. You know that word association? If I said McDonald's, you'd go dum, 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 dum. You say immediately word association, you say things that you think of. So I'm going to say family, alright? And then I want you to say whatever comes to your mind. It might be positive, might be not so positive, might be anything. But just go like, what do you think of? Sort of one word really, more than long sentences. When I say family, what comes into your mind? Off we go.
Happiness.
Oh, hold on. Go on. Start with that, go ahead.
Mummy.
Okay. Daddy.
Children.
Stress.
I've been on it.
Noisy body.
Noisy. I like that one. Well, buzzing. Buzzing. Warmth. Who said that?
Lovely.
Love.
Put that in the middle.
Sharing.
Loyalty.
Together.
Honesty. Oh, no, I'm eating. There's a lot of eating in this family. What was the other one?
Honesty.
Okay.
Safe.
Oh. Celebration. Somebody said happiness or something, didn't they?
Yeah.
Did they say that? Did I hear that? Or did I just make it up?
You can put it on.
Happiness. There you go. Thanks, Sam.
Yeah,
well done.
There you go.
He's done
that. Any more? Come on, just quick. This is
home.
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 Okay. I go fun. Some people would say fun, and they should have it, but I would. Any more?
Lineage.
Lineage. Do you know what that means?
No.
Andrew just explained it.
Messy.
You've got another word in here, as well as lineage. Thank you for that.
A bit more grounded than lineage. I know that.
Any more thoughts? You just go like, oh, family.
I can say sibling rivalry because it's quite common in family.
Right, fighting.
Yeah.
We've got a door in our house. When we had when our kids were at home, there's a door on one of the bedrooms, and it has a punch mark in the door.
Okay.
We took it away eventually, but we left it there for ages just to remind them that because our son, I got so angry one day that he was after his sister. She slammed the door, bang! He put his fist through the door. That's our family. That's fun.
Did he break his arm?
No. He's never been the same since, but, you know. Okay. Do you know what? You can't expect or guarantee everybody to have the same experience of family. And these days, I think we live in a world where there's all sorts of different understandings of what family is, what it looks like, and so on. The idea of today is to say simply, what's God's view of family? Now, what surprises me, and just again, when I was thinking about this seminar, is I went to the Bible and went like, right, concordance. Family. There isn't much. It's surprising, isn't it? There isn't much. It actually, if you like, well, we're going to look at a few verses in a second. But what you do find is, it's implicit, if you know what I mean by that, in everything. It's like, this is the way God looks about his people, this is how he sees his people, because he himself says, I'm your father. So it's like in everything in one way, but you find it around. Okay, let's have a few of those verses. Can I have okay. Who's got Psalm 68? Yep. Okay, nice and loud, please.
Okay. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing, that the rebellious live in a sun scorched land.
Yeah, never mind the rebellious. Let's just think about it. Okay, is there any of these words that just sort of match up to what Sue just said? Particularly he sets the lonely in families. Okay, so it's a kind of a safe place.
Warmth.
Yeah. Warmth.
Sharing.
Home, that's a good one. And then sharing, where's that?
On the right hand side, halfway down.
Yeah. Alright, I think that's good. Actually, the lonely. God's heart is that nobody's lonely. That's really his heart. It's amazing, isn't that? He doesn't want anybody to be lonely. The way he says I want to be alone is I want to be added to family. I want you to be belong to something. Okay? Alright, now what else have we got? What about Genesis 12? Who's got that one? Mm-hmm. Now that one might read a bit different. It might read about nations, did it, or something. Can you read it anyway?
I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.
Oh, God, great. Good version, that one. Because some versions it says peoples or something, it doesn't quite capture what God has. That was a promise to Abraham. It's like, here's what I want to do through Abraham. I want Abraham. I want all the families of the world to be blessed. Any words that we can particularly
buzzing.
I reckon so.
Happiness.
Blessing. Does love. It's not all about happiness, but it's that love. Yeah, good.
Messy.
Blessing is messy.
Messy
blessing. I didn't say another word for it. This is not my seminar, it's our seminar, so we're all right here. Okay, interesting. Okay, now what about Luke 2? This is about Jesus actually, and just his very early days. Okay, go on.
When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him.
Okay, so this is Jesus growing up in a... Right? So does that tell us anything about... Just about him? And does this tell us anything from what we've got on the board?
Children?
Yeah. Children?
He had a mummy and a daddy.
He did have a mummy and a daddy. It's true. Some of the other ones we do again, probably warm faith, all that kind of thing, because we didn't actually put here what I would probably call growth. Growing, you know, because that's actually what we're saying there. Just Jesus grew, he grew in wisdom, he grew in those things. Where? In the family. That's what that's about. We can get it in, we put it in later, right? Okay, so that's another thing. So we were actually quite good, aren't we, so far on saying that what we thought is what God thinks, quite a bit. 1 Timothy 3, verse 5.
Yeah, I've got that one.
You've got that one, have you? This is about leaders, actually. And it says, if you're going to be a leader, here's your first qualification. You must go to Bible college. It doesn't say that, actually. What does it say?
It says, if anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church?
Oh. So I think it's a fascinating qualification, is to say, actually, how you are in your own family, how your own family is like how you do the rest of your life, how you do your other leading. And so therefore, God's saying, if you're going to be a leader in the church, which we want to care about, we want it to be like family, you actually got to do it well back home. I'm not so sure we've got any more here that we can...
Honesty,
that would work, wouldn't it? Yes.
Loyalty.
Possibly loyalty. Noisy. No, not noisy.
Yeah.
Discipline. We haven't got discipline, have we?
No.
I need to put discipline in. Because all of our experience of family, surely, isn't it?
have integrity, which means you can't be one thing in the way you run your own family and another thing when you leave the church.
Yeah.
So you need to be the same and have the same standards in both.
So this is an interesting thing. Let's just do the last scripture then, which is 1 Timothy 5. And he's got that.
If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever.
Worse than an infidel. So I find that one quite interesting as well. It's actually saying, look, you've got to take responsibility for what is yours. If this is your family, you know, but you include all of your relatives, because that's actually about, is it about widows and things like that? People who are single, or what is it saying? Actually, you've got to take care of them. You've got to take responsibility for them. Is there any more that we can circle there then about that? Have we got responsibility? I'll put it in again. Responsibility. See how good my writing is.
Support, not on one another. No, supporting each other.
Support. Yeah.
Where's that?
It's not there.
Oh, support. That's a really important word.
Maybe we should have something like including or inclusive.
Right. I want to go there in a minute.
Also.
So no, good. Right. So can I put that up as well? Inclusive. Is that last scripture? Basically said, if there's just mum, dad and two kids, that's it, thank you very much. So actually you're not fulfilling your full responsibility. Actually your family is wider than that and needs to be more inclusive. Okay, well that's good, isn't it, for starter? Here's a couple of quotes. I like the quotes, don't I? A family is a unit composed not only of children, but men, women, an occasional animal and a common cold. Well, that's quite good. Children are a great comfort in old age and they help you to reach it faster. This is a 17-year-old just talking about their parents. That's true. Listening to parents' advice is sort of like watching adverts. You know what's coming, you've heard it all before, it's all a bit boring, but you listen anyway. I thought that's a very classic one. Let me just show you like three pictures which are our family. And so, you know, when we talk about family, I can't be anything but shaped by, this is our family, okay? So first one is, these are our three kids. Aren't they amazing?
They really are.
They are really incredible. I'd just like to point out, none of them are perfect. Just want to point that out, because we know that, okay? So David on the left here, he's the youngest. There's in Manchester. She's married, got two boys of their own. Sarah in the middle is mad. She's barking. She's got five boys. Okay, not enough. Two dogs. She's building a massive kind of sort of thing to rescue
rabbits.
Anybody with rabbits that are being abused anywhere, she's got. She wants to build a sanctuary. But abused rabbits. I'm saying, you know, can we breed them to eat them or something like that, but she doesn't like that idea. Anyway, so Sarah's mad. That life is not full enough for her and for them, so they started fostering.
Rabbits.
Not rabbits?
No.
So they fostered a little baby for a while, then occasionally, and now just recently they've just taken a little girl, 7-year-old girl, called Kaisha. Into their home, and they're expecting for her to really to be adopted, to live with them from now on. So they're like amazing.
Yeah.
Incredible.
What about spiritual nature as
well? So David is he's been part of the leadership in Manchester Church, and they're part of the church plant that's going with these guys. Okay, so they're David actually was one of our main worship leaders in Derby before he moved to Manchester, and so they're doing great. Sarah and her husband Nadim, they're part of a church in Worcester. Actually, for a while, because Sarah's husband is called Nadim, that gives a clue, he's actually from Pakistan origins, if you like, his family are Muslim. He's a converted Muslim. And they started a ministry to reach out to Muslims in Derby before they left as well. and that ministry is kind of flourished and still going. They're doing great. Third one over there is our eldest. That's Rachel. So Rachel is wonderful. She and her husband live in Japan.
Wow.
And what are they doing there? They're leading a church there. That's what they're doing. And they've got a little boy and a not a little boy, a big boy. and a girl. And Mike, her husband, is actually an American, but he's an American missionary kid who was raised in Japan. So he was fluent in Japanese, you know. Rachel, she's just a genius. She's a genius with languages. She gets that from me.
Yes, Mark.
Yeah, alright, okay.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah.
Gets it from me. Look, she was fluent in Japanese like within a year of being there. She did the training before she went, but they've been there 15 years now, so it's their home. Kids are bilingual. They lead a church there, which is really exciting and really good, but they don't even see themselves as missionaries anymore. They just see themselves as, this is our home, this is who we are, this is where we live.
It's really hard.
Their church is probably 70 to 100 people.
Is that like, is that
that's a big church.
Is that like Japanese people? Or kind of
no, it's all Japanese.
It's all Japanese people.
Yeah. So the whole service depends on Japanese.
Yeah.
Which is a bit of a problem for us when we go.
Yeah. I preach, when I go, they always go, we're there on holiday, and they go like, will you preach? Yeah, okay. But I can't preach in Japanese. Look, we could talk lots about this, because honestly, kids are, I want to say, they haven't been perfect kids all the way through. They've actually given us some grief along the way, like punched doors and things like that, and quite a lot more. One of the things I wanted to say is, what's different? They're living all over the place. They've got their own families now. They're still our kids. So whatever we understand about family, it kind of just doesn't undo. They are still our kids. We don't see them so often. They are still our kids. I think God's view of family is, you're still my kids. Almost whatever. This is it. This is, you're part of the family. And there's a faithfulness and a loyalty about God and his understanding of family. Let me show you another picture. But another thing I think about families grow. Okay? So, this is me in the middle and Nestor there.
You're looking very resplendent.
And thank you. Down on one knee, you know, as I usually am. And one is missing. He's slightly bigger than this one. And this simply says that if you have an understanding of family, and God's understanding of family, is it grows. Families grow. And, you know, not everybody's blessed to have children, but essentially, within family, families tend to grow. So there I was. Once upon a time, there was just me and Nestor. There was just two of us. And now we get the whole family together. I look like Father Abraham, you know, with hordes around us. We've ended up with like 9 grandchildren, 8 grandsons, and 1 granddaughter. And there she is. And she can take the rest of the grandsons on her own. She's the feistiest warrior of the whole lot, honestly. She really is. She can control the whole lot. No trouble at all. Joel here, tall one, he's just become national champion in high jump in the nations. He's a national champion. So we're cracking him to see that he comes. We reckon he might make the Olympics for 2020, which happens to be in Japan.
Yeah.
My whole life is just going to come together. So families grow, that's what I think. Families grow, and that's what that tells you about our family at least. And then, I just can't talk about family without talking about my mum and dad. This is my mum and dad, mummy and daddy. This is put up here, isn't it? And they're still going. In fact, they're not only going, they're pretty healthy and going. I've given up any hope of any inheritance. I think they're just they're going to outlive me, I am convinced. My mum's a bit older than my dad, so she's only 92. And he's 87, 88, something like that. They're crazy. They live in Whitney in Oxfordshire. Got a great big garden, as long as from here to the end of that sort of football pitch. with lots of trees. I go there the other day and I said, where's my dad? He says, oh, his mum says, oh, he's up the garden with a chainsaw. Oh, what? Dangerous, you know. But I think all I wanted to say from this picture is that I guess the longer family goes on, sometimes the more you appreciate it. You kind of think, well, I always should. And you're always aware, you know. But actually, the longer family goes, I'm going, there were things I didn't appreciate about my parents when we were earlier. We actually had some major fallouts, times of quite distancing. But actually, the older you get, the further on you get, the more you go, actually, we still feel like family becomes almost like become more and more aware of how important it is. So, can I just ask anybody, you know, I just want to know really what your experiences might be, or what we might add to this. If you like. Let's just add to, it's 1:45 now, let's just add to this what we think God's idea of family might be, that might be different to some of our experience. Okay? So, let's just talk about this word for a minute. Inclusive. Okay? And inclusive really means that, as I said, you know, family for us, often we think sort of two parents, not always these days, but maybe two parents, 2.2 children, and some kind of and a semi-detached house. That's what we think. That's what family is. And yeah, I think that God wants us to think of it a bit differently to that. And he wants us to think that when you talk about family in the Bible, it often hasn't got the word family, it's got the word household. And so you go, instead of looking through, like Dan's book from Courts, you go family, you go household. And it says, and so-and-so, and all of their household. It's kind of the same word, really, for family. With costs or something like that. It's like it's extended family. And I suppose what I think is that actually for us, for many of us, we've got to just change our view a bit from saying, this is my direct responsibility, or my direct, if you like, husband, wife, person, child, mum, dad, whatever. But there is a charge within the Bible to say, there is your wider family you've got to take responsibility for as well. That's a bit worrying, you know. So my brother, he gets divorced, and I'm thinking, oh gosh, now he's divorced, have I got extra responsibility for him? Now the Bible actually says if there's a woman who was left without any kind of protection or care, you should take responsibility for them. You should actually take them in, you know? But I think it's a little bit more than that again. Actually, I think God's idea of family is that however you express it within yourself, it's there for sharing. And one of the things we tried to teach our children was that God's given us something wonderful in us. So we want to share it. Do you want to say anything about it? Just...
I want to say something. Can I say my view? You know, this idea about household, I'm glad you've got on to that.
Yeah.
There's this idea about the head of the household as well. And I think that the household is slightly different to the family. So, for example, my understanding of household is it's like an authority thing. So, you know, one is responsible for those in your household to the extent that they are, you know, under your authority. If somebody chooses to kind of leave that sphere of protection and authority, then they are not in your household. They must still be part of your family. So there's a kind of distinction.
Right.
For example, someone might go and get married and start up their own household. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't necessarily still be under the same sphere of authority as the original one, although you'd still be kind of family.
Yeah. Together. That's a good definition. In fact, when I've just gone through our three kids, and I said, what do I say about those? They're still our family. They definitely are. But they've got their own households.
Yeah.
Most definitely got their own households. And guess what? they're running their families slightly differently to how we did.
But I wouldn't make it your responsibility in that sense.
No.
Unless they chose to say, can we come under your wing again? You know, that and you'd have to think about whether that's a suitable.
Or they could do it to us. Because that's another thing further road. Our Sarah, because she's always like crazy thinking things, they've had an extension built on their house and they built some foundations. I said, what are you doing that for? He said, that's for you and for Mum. That's the granny flat. Come on, look.
It's only a piece of decking at the moment.
So we can go and
plumbing and electricity underneath him.
So then we'll get to say, who will be in charge? Definitely it'll be the guinea pigs, I think.
Or the rabbit.
But yeah, good definition, really, good distinction. Anybody want to say anything else about family? Just what you think about? Yeah.
I mean, we found particularly Christmas Day was a time when people who perhaps didn't have their own families were really struggling. It's become a day that there's a lot of hype about, isn't there? It's that particular day where you don't want people to be on their own. And I think over the years, and especially when the children were at home, we were always on the lookout from beginning November onwards. We were on the lookout, who's hearing of somebody who might be on their own and so on. And I have to say that though it's quite hard work cooking for a lot of people on Christmas Day, certainly not a day off for whoever it is who's cooking, but we've had some tremendous blessings personally from the people that we've welcomed into our home. And for example, I befriended a Japanese family with a small child, and they're not Christians, they're Buddhists, they, you know, were aware of all this hype of Christmas and said, well, come and be with us and share what it is that we do. We've had refugees coming, and so we just buy more presents, and because we do a big present sharing on Christmas Day afternoon, so whoever's in the household we buy presents for them. And then one year we had complete strangers. I happened to talk to a lady about 2 or 3 days before Christmas, and it's always the conversation point, what are you doing for Christmas? And she said, well, it'll just be me and my grown-up son again, just the two of us. And I said, but I thought you were part of a church somewhere. And she said, yeah. And I said, couldn't anybody invite you from that church? And she said, no, for 20 years it's just been me and my son. And I said, well, why don't you come to us? And she said, but you don't know us. I said, does that matter? And so she and her son came. And I said, feel free to stay. There's going to be money. There'll be lots of kids there. And you feel free to go when you've had enough, or stay as long as you want. And they stayed right through to the evening, and it was a really precious time. I've never seen her since. Never seen her. They just came visiting her one-off to our church. Never seen them since, but you just think they were such a blessing in our home, and hopefully they went away with blessing, because we felt in that we were touching the heart of God to be inclusive and to welcome people in, even on a temporary basis, as part of our family.
Anybody else?
Open is a word that we perhaps haven't got on there that I would probably hold quite dear to, which perhaps reflects
yeah,
that all that you have said, that it's,
yeah,
that it's open, that it's available.
Yeah.
It's not something that's so precious that needs to be locked away like the crown jewels that needs to be turned inside out.
Yeah.
Now, we circled a number of those just because they came up out of the passage we read. I would like to say that these are some of the other things that I think are important to God in him. So I think lineage is actually important to him. It's like it's a place for, if you ever listen to them, the Anglican marriage service, it's like marriage is God's ordained thing for the purpose of the raising of children. It's like actually it's about that. And there's something about that. I actually do believe that fun should be an integral part of family, and celebration. I mean, there's all sorts of celebrations followed through the Bible, but we know that that's where families really sort of come together. I'd like to not do fighting, but you know, there is a sort of a place for, as and when you sort of fall out of it, there is there's a place for resolution, there's a place to sort of resolve things. I eat in this sorry, sort of thing, you know? And
stress.
Yeah. Stress. It can be stressful. Sometimes they say, actually, Nesta gives a story of Christmas, but actually ends up being, for some people, the most stressful time as well. Is that right? And always noisy. I wish I could almost a lot. I'm going to be fighting just so it's done, all right? That's actually kind of interesting, just looking at it, put that there. But because it's like a bit, short time, I really wanted to try and just bring it together, and I hope this is okay to do this. I'll just say, so I'm going to give you, I think, four things that ultimately I think are captured in a lot of those, that I would believe this is what God wants family to be like. And I think it's so important for us, because there is this natural family that we're trying to understand, and we're all different experiences, some good, some not good, some about to happen, you know, some, you know, got a lot of history. But I think it's really important. We don't just think, oh, family, that kind of thing that we, you know, but actually church is family. God looks at the church and says, as Nestor just given an example there, just this lady, don't you belong to a church family? I love it. You probably have it here, I know you do, where people come to church and say, oh, it feels like family. You go, great. That is what it's supposed to feel like. What's the elements of it? Well, I would suggest number one is belonging. And I think we live in a world that is desperate to belong. Oh, to belong, I want to be part, I want to be part of it. And I think that was always God's intention. Family was the place of belonging. The lonely, he set families. Nobody should be lonely, that's the thing. If we carry God's heart, he says, look, the lonely, bring them into the family. Belonging's got all sorts of things we can put under it. I think it's about being a safe place. Families aren't always, and I think it's important to think this is God's idea. It's a safe place, it's a protected place. Protected, if you like. It's a safe place to be. It's also a place where there's provision, where, you know, my writing's getting worse and worse, it's going to get faster. But it's a place also where you go, belonging comes because you have some identity as well. Usually when you know in your family, you get a name. So something there says, oh, I belong to that. Everybody agree with that one so far? Okay, belonging. Whatever actually else family is supposed to be, it's a place of belonging. Number two, I call it nurture. But really, that's about development. Family is there for everyone to grow. It's there for kids to grow, most definitely. But actually, it's more than that, it's for everyone to grow. So our kids are in our house, and we watch them grow. We got, you know, we had, like many families do, the doorpost where you mark off the kids' heads as height at different ages, and it goes up the mat, you know, like this. And I stopped doing it when my son got taller than me. But started to get annoyed then. Really. There's something about when your kids, you know, we had a table tennis table, we played table tennis, I loved it. And until they started to beat me, then we stopped doing that. At any point when they start winning, we're not doing that anymore. Okay. But it's for them to grow, but you know what? It's for us to grow as well. It's actually about us growing in all sorts of ways. In learning wisdom and grace and all kinds of things. It's a place for nurture and development and personal growth, if you like. That's the place. That's what family is there for. Okay, my third one.
Maturity.
That's a good word.
Maturing.
A place of maturing. Growing, developing, maturing.
Not just the children. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought I was part of the Christians in that, I mean, they're exposing them.
I used to preach a lot on grace, because grace is just the most wonderful thing that defines me. And I just thought I knew what grace was, until we came to a point in our family life where we had a huge sort of issue for us, and I suddenly realised I didn't really know anything about grace. I had to find it all again, and suddenly you realise, oh, I think I knew it, grace that much, but now I'm living it, I have to experience it a different way. Okay, I've got this word inclusiveness, because I can't think of a better way to say it, but inclusive in tea. It's a better way, thank you. And we've just been talking a bit about that, but I think this is a real issue for today. I think it's not just like we as church want to be inclusive, arms open wide, not doors closed, homes that are hospitable. Hospitality is really big in the Bible, really big. It's like it's this is actually about how God wants us to live and how to lead our households and work with all that. But today there's an issue to do with fostering and adoption, and there's a new charity being formed called Home for Good. I don't know if you're aware of it. Which is just saying to the church today, do you know what? If every church in the country chose together to say we will adopt, somebody within our church will adopt one child, all of the adoption problems in the country will be solved immediately. And it's a challenge to the church to say, is this something that we ought to be doing more of? So our Sarah's just sort of one of those, and amongst many people, we've got a few in our church who've taken up fostering and adopting. Actually, as for one family, this is their career, this is what we do. Just continually. But I believe it's something of God's heart, I really do. It's something about saying, what we've got, we want to draw others in. I got this friend called Christian, he's from Sierra Leone, and I went to see him a few years ago. And he just got married, and then he got a baby, and so on. I went a couple of years later to see him, and the house was full of kids. I'm going, Christian, what have you been up to? You know, look at you. And he just says, oh, no, well, I said, they are all mine. He said, but they're all adopted. And because there's been such a disaster, humanitarian disaster in Sierra Leone, he just gone like, well, we just take them in. So suddenly he'd gone from one child, he had two, to sort of like 15, I think.
That is messy.
He's called Christian. I said, you are a Christian. I tell you, you are a prophet. And then the last word I've got here is legacy, which is a bit like lineage, which is, I think family is about passing on, a whole part of it, passing on. So it's not ever meant to be one generation apart from other generations. Generations together, but there's something that is being passed on. So you pass on your name, I gather if you're a nobility or something like that, you pass on your title. But for us, I think it's mostly about passing on the gospel, passing on the values of the kingdom, passing something on so that it's in the context of family that there should be more after you. So my picture of us and the family is like there's definitely more of them than there is just of us. And it's family DNA. Right, the bell's gone. I failed by talking too much, sorry. But just that set a scene really, I think, for what I think is what we would perhaps say overall headlines. That's what I think, and what probably we'd agree together. Here's some headlines of what God's family would look like. Amen. Let's have coffee.
Yep. Yeah.